Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on researching companies. Here we go. This podcast answers the questions, how can I find out more about what it's like to work somewhere? How can I find out about companies other than their own information? And how can I use LinkedIn to find out more about companies? This guidance is brought to you by the Manager Tools interviewing series. It's easily our most popular product. For only $150, you get close to 60 podcasts telling you every detail about everything that could possibly happen to you in an interview, including the big questions that everyone seems to not know how to answer. Tell me about yourself. Behavioral interviewing questions like, give me an example of a significant accomplishment, your leadership style, weaknesses, and so on. How to close, how to follow up, how to write thank you notes, soup to nuts, how to interview. We recommend it. Wendy, we see and hear from so many people who complain about companies that they joined and they found out that they weren't what they thought they would be, or that there were some hidden issues. And of course, the company didn't reveal those in the interviewing, just like we don't reveal if we're being interviewed all of our weaknesses. But the fact is, today there are lots of sources of company information that you can use to find out the things, the kind of things you might want to know ahead of time so you can make a better decision.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about three of them: LinkedIn, Glassdoor, and Google.
And these aren't the only sources.
Oh, no. Not by a long way.
These are just really obvious ones. And when we say obvious, we basically mean you can't not do what we're going to recommend here if you're thinking about going to work somewhere. The information is available. It's good. We've looked at it hundreds of times for all kinds of companies and find it tends to track pretty well with real life as long as you go in with a clear head. So let's start with LinkedIn.
And we start with LinkedIn because it's a really good combination of the source of information and also your network. And the best way to find anything out about a company, whether it's something official, whether it's you want to give your resume to someone, or whether it's, you know, the deep detail about what it's like to work there, is always through your network. If you can talk to a person, you'll find out way more than interrogating Google, however good at that you are. And so LinkedIn maybe doesn't provide the information itself, but it provides you a way to get to that information, in that it tells you which people work at that company and how you're connected at them, with them, I'm sorry. And your network gives you all sorts of information, like your competitiveness, like how you rank amongst people that do your job. It gives you access to hiring managers and recommendations and references. And so once you've narrowed down your search to a few companies, or you've got a specific job in mind, or you've got an interview, then it's time to hit LinkedIn.
What about if somebody's not on LinkedIn? Does it still help?
Yes, but why wouldn't you be? That's like one of those like, but I wouldn't start from here questions.
Right. So our recommendation, of course, is join. Even if you don't see LinkedIn as being an important part of your career management, which we would fundamentally disagree with, but even if you don't see it that way, even if you don't want to stay connected to people and have a broader network, which we recommend is one of the most important things you can do in managing your career, even if that's true, you still want to make a good choice about companies you go to work for. And so for a period of time, become a member, sign up. You can always get out later if you're that opposed to it, but in that way, you can at least have a start.
So assuming that you haven't reached anyone who works at the company already, then what you would do is search for LinkedIn for people with similar job titles to the one you want or the one you have and within that company. So if you want to be a marketing analyst, then you search the company with marketing. And right now there is a job title field and you put in marketing in that field.
So you're saying I go and there's a place in LinkedIn that I can type in, say, General Electric or Walmart or NetApp or Tesla. And then in the search field, there's a search field for types of jobs and you can put in marketing.
Exactly. And it will show you all the people with marketing in that company.
Marketing in their job title that they have listed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Will it show you somebody who, say, was at Apple in marketing and then left to go to Tesla and now is in, bad example perhaps, engineering?
Yes, you can set the search that way. So you can look at people's current jobs or you can look at their past jobs.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming though, if I put in Tesla and marketing, I don't know any of those folks.
Potentially, you don't know any of those folks. You're right. The results that come out are arranged in the order of the people you're closest to. So if you know someone who knows someone who works at Tesla, then that person will be highest on your list. That's what they call a second degree connection.
Yeah, you call that second degree. I think of that as one degree of separation. But perhaps I'm wrong. We're not playing Kevin Bacon here. So if I know you and you know somebody at Tesla and, mm-hmm. and we're connected on LinkedIn, that would hypothetically, unless I knew somebody at Tesla, you would be at the top or near the top of my list.
Yeah, that person at Tesla would be at the top of your search list.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And then if there's an extra person in the chain, then they come a little bit further down, depending on how many people you have at second degree. There's a third degree, and then there's people you don't have a connection with. So it'll show you all the people that it has at marketing at Tesla, but it will arrange them in the order of your connection.
Wow. And so this immediately makes the case for having a broader network.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're not buddies with everybody, even if you're not a glad hander and a schmoozer and a quote networker unquote, the bigger your network, the greater the chances are you'll know somebody who knows somebody. Or for that matter, that you'll actually know somebody at the company, because we all don't keep up with what all of our friends do, even though there are settings on LinkedIn that will allow you to do that. If somebody moves, if they update their profile and they've changed company, LinkedIn will say, would you like to know about that? Even if you don't do that, which I tried for about a month and it drove me crazy because I have lots of LinkedIn connections, but I can look and I may find that one of my connections has actually moved there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And that person would come at the top of your list.
Okay.
So, of course, the next thing to do is just reach out to, if there's someone that you know that has moved to that company, then reach out to them. If there's someone you know who knows someone, then you can reach out to the intermediate person. So
yeah.
If I know you and you know someone who works at Apple, then I would call you and go, hey, Mark, I really want to work at marketing at Apple. Can you connect me with this person? And hopefully, if I'm a good person and you're a good person, then you will.
Yeah. And also that you're not asking for a favor from someone whom you haven't talked to and haven't done any favors for. And suddenly now the power of the network becomes even clearer.
Yeah, exactly. And you can make those requests for an introduction through LinkedIn. They have a mechanism for you to do that. And they police it fairly carefully because there's a possibility that you could misuse that. You know, you could spam all your connections looking for someone who works somewhere, or you can repeatedly be asked to make a connection and not do it. Or you can repeatedly be asked LinkedIn to make you a connection with someone and that someone reports you as making a bad request or not really knowing them or something like that. And of course, LinkedIn wants to keep its reputation as a valid way of connecting people. So if people are misusing the system, then they get punished. And because the rules are pretty strict, you can sometimes overstep them without doing something terribly bad. So it's a good way, if once you've found the person, if you have a phone number for them, call them, if you email them privately, sort of outside of the LinkedIn network.
Yeah.
Those things are better, partly because you avoid the punishment, but also because, you know, phoning someone is always better than emailing them. Emailing them is better than using LinkedIn system, because at least it comes from your email and that person's going to recognize your name.
Okay, good.
And of course, the only people that spend all day on LinkedIn are recruiters. So, you know, who knows when someone's going to see your message.
So if you have a chance to communicate outside of LinkedIn, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense.
Companies have the opportunity to have a page. We have a page as Manager Tools, and it lists our products and what we do and a bunch of links to things like podcasts and other conferences and other things we do. And so you can go to that company's page and just see if there's anything there that's different to what they're publishing elsewhere or is tailored to that audience. So if you see the same news on their blog post on their own site and on Facebook and on Twitter and on LinkedIn, they may be sort of all written slightly differently for the slightly different audiences. And so you may be able to learn something from the different ways that things are written.
I had a situation that happened a couple of years ago after one of our LinkedIn casts guidance came out. A person said to me, hey, I reached out to somebody through LinkedIn and all they did was refer me to HR. And the person had a very negative taste in his mouth. He said, gosh, I would have thought we could have talked, I could have learned something and so on. And he was trying to get an interview, trying to put his resume in front of somebody. And I said to him, I said, why is that bad? He said, well, you should have talked to me. You should have, I know somebody who knows him. You'd think you would do me a favor. I said a couple of things. I said, first of all, you do favors for other people. You help other people. You do so as often as you can, because karma is a good thing, and you hope that people return the favors. Sometimes you do favor for person X, and you actually get a favor from person Y. The two things are unrelated, other than our emotional brains connect them. But don't assume that if somebody refers you to HR, that that's bad. In fact, there are other people that are trying to get in touch with this person, and they're not responding. They're not doing anything. If you get referred to HR, if they say, hey, send it to this person in HR, that's good. It's certainly better than nothing. But this person had decided that the standard was, this person I'm talking to at this company who knows somebody who knows me is going to interview me. And when they refer me to HR, that's bad. I said, man, I'll tell you what, you're going to go through your life pretty much thinking everything's half empty. And in fact, that's very much a more than half full answer. You're now able to talk to somebody in HR. And look, if you go to HR and 2 months later, nothing's happened, you could email that person again and say, hey, listen, I haven't heard anything from HR. Understandably, I know everybody's busy over there. Perhaps could you reach out for me and make an introduction or something like that? They may or may not say something, but don't assume that if somebody says, hey, thanks for your input, the process is here, don't assume that's bad, because there are a lot of people who reach out to that person that they don't respond to. Because if you're on LinkedIn and you're a vice president and you're in marketing at Tesla or some other cool company, you're getting people contacting you all the time. Yeah. So be aware of that.
One of the things we've left this at a fairly high level is because this podcast will be around for like 20 years and the way it looks and so on will change. And so we don't want to give lots of specificity and make it useless. But there are tons of tutorials for how to do searches, for how the connections work, all that kind of stuff on the internet.
Okay. Next, Glassdoor, a company that I bet a lot of people haven't even heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
And they wish, in hindsight, they'll wish they had.
They will. So Glassdoor is a website which allows employees and ex-employees of companies to post reviews about them. You are also able to post information about interviews, so what questions you were asked, what the interview process was like, stuff like that. And you can also post salaries.
I've always loved the name of the company, Glassdoor,
it's like transparent. You can see straight through.
You can see it. Yeah, you can see inside. Yeah.
So it doesn't talk about the company itself, like the company results or the products or things like that, but it talks about things like the management style and pay and benefits and hours and perks, all the things that you want to know about early in the interview process and you can't ask until you've got an offer. So,
yep.
So here's an example that I picked out. It's from a community assistant at Graystar, who I'd never heard of.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, I just picked it. So pros. Great to live where you work. Rent compensation is a huge plus. Loved the management and my coworkers because you're working with students just like you. And then here comes the bit that I really liked. Cons. 26 hours a week is a little demanding for a student. Also, the $8 base pay is low for the amount of work done. Advice for manager, pay your CAs more. So there's a few caveats with using this information. which are mainly the same caveats that you have for information posted anywhere on the internet. First of all, the people that post reviews on Yelp or Glassdoor or any of Google reviews, any of those things, tend to be the people who loved or hated the service or the person or the company.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Only the strong emotions persuade people to spend the time making reviews. So when you're looking at them, you gotta take them with a pinch of salt. I don't know. Just take them down 10, 20% and think it's not as great as somebody is saying, and it's probably not as bad as somebody is saying.
I've also found that when it comes to reviews, I trust my sense of whether or not the tone of the review, the writing of the review, feels right to me. I read some reviews, and this is particularly on the App Store, where I think, you know, too many of these are, they just feel formulaic to me. Or, no, something about this one feels wrong. The grammar's wrong. Or, I don't know. If you feel that on a review, throw that review aside. Mm-hmm. You know, put that into the category of the 10 to 20% that, you know, they just overdo it, and you're probably not getting a perfect snapshot. You are getting one snapshot of the company, and you have to understand that it's a random one, and it may be good or it may be bad. Now, if there are 500 reviews or comments, you can read them all and get a sense, not from any one of them. You could throw out any one of them, but you wouldn't want to throw out 150 if they all tend to have the same tone.
Yeah. What's that thing you said this week about the instance and the trend?
Yeah, you don't want to confuse an instance with a trend. People do this all the time. The joke about it is the plural of anecdote is not data. Meaning, just because you have two anecdotes of something doesn't mean you have data. When you measure something, you want to understand, particularly in organizational results, one particular week, one particular month may not be important if you don't have context for it. And so when people say, ooh, look, we're down 3%. Well, there's a 7% variance here. And so 3% is pretty much within the norms. And don't worry about down 3%. Don't try to guess why you're down 3%. Same thing here. Any single review is trivial, is to be ignored, good or bad. But 100 of them or 150 of them will begin to give you a sense, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would I put this company? If your gut is telling the average is 4, and you really want to work with a company who's 6 or 7 in your mind, any one of those that led up to the 4 is unimportant. But the 4 is important. Don't confuse data with information.
Thank you. I remembered it, but I couldn't explain it. And the other thing that you need to think about is the bigger the company, the more specific you have to be. So if you work in IBM's Global Business Services division, it's not at all like working in the Technology Services division. And working at sites that used to be some other company that IBM bought is not like working at an IBM site or even their head office. When I was there,
it's not even safe to say that if somebody is working at an IBM site and it's always been an IBM site, they're going to have a different experience than somebody who gets bought by IBM, right?
Yeah, when I was there, they bought Tivoli. Part of the deal for one of the Tivoli sites that was close to us was they always had beer on Friday afternoons.
Right.
And IBM had a no alcohol on-site policy, but they excused them for 2 years. For 2 years, they were still allowed beer on Friday afternoons. And it was amazing the number of people who had Friday afternoon meetings there. So it would, if you went there on a Friday afternoon, it was like nowhere else in IBM. So, yeah. And if if you're looking for information about working in marketing on their site in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in the technology services division, you need to look on Glassdoor for that specific thing, because otherwise you're getting information that's not useful at all.
And, you know, somebody said, "Ooh, gee," you know, somebody thinks to themselves, "Wow, I didn't even think that IBM had an office in Cambridge, for instance." Well, if you live in Boston, and I'm talking about the U.S. Cambridge, Why wouldn't you just open up a map? We're going to talk about Google in a minute and type in IBM. Now, there are probably places like Best Buy that sell IBM devices, or there are IBM service centers that maybe you're not interested in, but it'll show you IBM offices. I say this to people all the time. You don't know where every company that you could be interested in working for is within 20 miles of you. And you can find out. People say, oh, you know, if you want to go to work at Procter & Gamble, you know, all the jobs are in Cincinnati. What, are you crazy? No, they're everywhere. There's somebody working for Procter & Gamble within 10 miles of you. If you're working in a large city, they're 1 mile from you. And I'm always astounded by that people don't recognize that there are ways to find out. If IBM is your company, if Google is your company, if Texas Instruments is your company, if Lever Brothers is your company, if Royal Dutch Shell is your company, you can find them. You can find them on a map, and you can do the same thing searching based not just on people who work there, but people you know who live near it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
If you want to work for an oil company in America, if you have any friends in Houston, they know somebody who works for an oil company. And if you don't know it, folks, the reason why a lot of oil companies are headquartered in Houston or have significant offices there, it's because they all used to be in New Orleans, which is close to the Gulf of Mexico, where a lot of exploration goes. But unfortunately, years ago, no offense to NOLA people, because I love New Orleans, but New Orleans was so corrupt, they all decamped to Houston.
I was searching for examples in San Antonio just because that's where I am. And I discovered that Johnson & Johnson have 500 people here. I thought I knew the major employers here, but apparently not.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to take the next part?
The next one is one of my all-time favorites. Third point, when you're on Glassdoor, folks, people lie about their salary. Always. Not sometimes, not maybe, not most people, everybody, all the time. Every instance, no matter what. There are two things people always lie about. Now, they don't think they're lying, but they know they're trying to impress you. And that is, they lie about the salary and also about how many hours they work. Don't believe what they tell you about their salary. I've shared this story many, many times in our guidance where I was working for a company doing some work, and somebody I knew said, oh, yeah, I got a job there. And I knew the recruiter. And I knew the person, and the person said, oh, yeah, they offered me X. And I had gotten paid based on the placement, and the placement was a percentage fee of their hiring salary. And so we knew what the hiring salary was. And when I expressed some funny emotions to the guy at the company, I said, this is funny. The guy says, you made a lot more. He says, Mark, you're not suggesting we should have paid you more. I said, no, I don't believe him. But this is a classic example of people who don't need to fib about their salary doing so. And the company, I think probably just to cover their back, sent me pay information for the guy. And he had inflated his salary by like 20%. So don't believe them. Okay. It's silly. And that's not the reason to go there. You might actually get some good information, but I would always discount what I was told about salary. And I think we go back to the earlier point. If the majority of the reviews are good, you can probably assume it's a good place to work. If they fall below that median 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, and now they're a 4 or a 3.5, then it may be a bad place to work. And there's a chance that a lot of the reviews are just kind of bland. They're sort of matter of fact. They don't really go strong one way or the other. You may not be able to tell anything at all, but you can't not look on Glassdoor.
It's going to take you like 15 minutes. Good luck.
Yeah, come on.
So the last place we have to look for you is, it's not the last place to look, it's just the last place in this cast, is Google. And I was listening to something the other day and somebody said, well, you can always search the old-fashioned way, use Google. And I'm old enough to remember, like, things before Google existed. There were ways to search for things. If you're Googling for employee reviews or what it's really like to work in a place, what you don't want is the first page of Google, which is usually dominated by the company's website itself or press releases or places right. where they've posted their own information. And so you need to get that stuff out of the way. And one way to do that is to use the Google Advanced Search, which used to be fairly obvious. There was a link to it on the Google search page, and now it's gone. Mostly, I think, because Google's improved its algorithm sufficiently that you don't need it. But every now and again, it's useful. So if you can't find it, you have to Google Google Advanced Search. Amazingly, it comes up. And the advantage of Advanced Search is that you can use what are called Boolean operators. I think it's something to do with math.
Yeah. Oh, and folks, if you're a relatively new listener, Wendy is famous. Partially, if you're American, you'll hear her say the British word maths. Math is somehow plural, just like mathematics. And the idea that Wendy is talking to us about something Boolean is amusing at some level. She is not good at maths. Nonetheless, the logic of Boolean operators is just one of the cool things about advanced search in a lot of places.
So it allows you to use things like and, or. So you can say things like, I want to search pages which say Mark Horseman and Pebble Beach. And then you'll find pages, not all the pages about Mark Horseman, but only the ones that also mention Pebble Beach. And there's a variety of things, extra things you can do. But on the advanced search page, it's done for you. There's a bunch of fields, and all you have to do is fill in the fields, and Google works out the ands and the ors and so on. I was looking for an example, so I found an example called a company called Cantex Continuing Care Network in San Antonio. They have about 1,000 employees, so they're a big-ish company, and they have 30 reviews on Glassdoor, which is pretty good, but I wanted to see what else I could find. So using the advanced search, I could put in employees and reviews, and it would search those two words separately, but look for them to being together. And then I could put in quotes, Cantex Continuing Care Network, which stops Google looking for all those words separately.
Yeah, like if you search just for Cantex Continuing Care without quotes around it, it will show you other continuing care companies. Mm-hmm. Or Cantex Roofing.
Yeah, in other contexts, exactly. And the other thing that's on there that's obvious is there's a time component. So you can search within the last week, month, 6 months, a year, yeah. Or you can put your own dates in. So we want reviews that are relatively recent, because 5 years ago, it could have been a completely different company. So I searched for just a year.
Right.
And then I still got a bunch of results from Glassdoor and one from LinkedIn. But then the next one was a Facebook page for one of their facilities. And there was a review on there from someone who was related to someone who was being cared for. And it was very scathing. Now, it's only one, but it gives you a different perspective on what the company says about itself, right? Because if I go around saying, I'm an awesome person, and you meet someone who knows me who says she is no way awesome, she's lying, she never does what she says she's going to do, she'll ask you for money and never pay you back, then you got to take that into account, right?
Right. Again, the instance is not the trend, but it's noteworthy. It's worth noting. And if it happens a lot, there may be a trend there. I'll tell you what I like about Boolean operators. When I'm doing a search sometimes, immediately thinking about Google, if I'm going to search on something, there are times when I almost immediately have a negative reaction, because what I'm searching for shares a name or a place name with something else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of one recently. And so what I do in Google, let's say Cantex Continuing Care has two divisions, long-term care and equipment. I'm making this up. I'm going to search for Cantex Continuing Care in quotes, and then I'll put a minus sign and the word equipment, meaning I don't want all the pages I've been getting about the equipment division of this company, which is completely separate. And actually, through a legal split about 5 years ago, they're different companies. They have the same name. They're allowed to use the same name. But now when this other company talks about equipment, those sites, those results will be filtered out of my search. So if IBM had an office in Cambridge and one in Boston, you can bet that the Boston site mentions Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want stuff for the Boston site because the Boston site is 10 times as big as the one in Cambridge, and I'm really interested in Cambridge. So I put in IBM Cambridge minus Boston. And Boolean operators allow you to do that. And now I'm going to get stuff for Cambridge. Now I'm probably also excluding pages of the IBM Cambridge site that mention Boston. And that may be a bad example, but you can narrow your search by saying, no, I really don't want that. Well, good example, manager tools, right? And then you put in minus project management. If project management is really important, if you Google manager tools, you'll come to us. I think we're the top hit pretty easily. But there are an awful lot of project manager tools or project tools for managers. If you put a minus on project, you're much more likely to guess and not hundreds of thousands of other hits for project management.
It's also useful for people, too. If you are looking for someone who shares a name with someone who's a soccer star or
yes.
You know, a sportsman or a newsreader or something like that, then you can minus out their field and that will give you a better search. So having exhausted the search I'd done, I also looked for I work at or I worked at, and then just the company name just to see if something came up, and I saw a couple of other things there. And then I also used the company name and I skipped like the first two pages and I looked on page two and three, skipped the first two, looked on three and four and five. Yeah, I told you I was bad at maths. And you start to get things that are tangentially related or are related in a different way. So, for example, one of the things I found on page four was a PDF that another company had written as part of a conference, but what they'd written was about their experience working with Cantex. And so that gave me a different context and a different angle about information. Now, again, it was written for a conference, so they write it in a particular way. And if it's glowing, then you can't take that as for an assumption that everything about the company is glowing. But it's just a case of adding pieces of information together, because you can't just say, what's it like to work at Cantex and expect Google to tell you, because it doesn't have that information. So you don't have it will find different pieces of information for you, but you have to do the adding up and the thinking about, okay, what is the context in which this is being presented? And do I need to discount it a little bit or a lot, or can I take it at face value?
Yeah, I think my lesson there in the last few minutes is I've got to be willing to go to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh pages. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that everybody else is like me. Maybe I'm just lazy, but I only look on the first page. And there are times when I don't Google something because I know the first page won't have it, and I may have to get to page 10 before I find it, and I'm not going to do it. So, folks, if you're like me and Google is so good that you find what you're looking for on the first page, because that's how Google does stuff, recognize that this search using Google may not be the way to apply your natural habitual tendency, and you may have to be willing to go deeper and deeper in order to find, as Wendy says, tangentially related stuff.
When I'm doing research, that's one of the things I always do. Like in my day-to-day, I only look at the first page as well, like everybody else. But if my aim is to do research, I always go much further.
Yeah, good.
And the other thing you can do is look for the names of people. So if you see that somebody is presented at a conference and they're representing that company, then Google their name and the company name and see what else comes up. Names are really useful because people give away information in the things that they write. You can often find like that person's Facebook page or that person's LinkedIn profile and see that there's different information on there.
Good. So three ways to find information about working at a company, all at your keyboard.
And maybe less than half an hour.
Yeah. If you're not doing this, folks, and you're wondering about how come you're not getting ahead in your job search, start here. Okay. And as we've said many, many times before, even if you're not a networker, guys, even if you don't like to shake people's hands, even if you think of yourself more as an individual and not as a connector to other people, the best way is still making a connection with somebody who works there and asking them.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Easy and fast ways to research a company. Come back next week. We'll see you then.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.